Welcome to episode 2 of our 1010 Thrive Easter special, The Centurion's Witness. Last time on episode 1, a Roman officer, trained to command, to conquer, to control, found himself standing in a crowd, listening to a man who spoke with an authority unlike anything he had ever known. Not the authority of Rome, not the authority of rank or force, but something quieter, deeper, undeniable.
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
And then, the moment that changes everything, a servant, a friend, a man he loves, is dying. Rome cannot save him. Medicine has failed. Time is running out. What do you do when everything you trust stops working? What happens when strength is no longer enough? And how far would you go to save someone you love?
I had heard the stories, and I had seen something in this man called Jesus, something I could not explain. But belief is dangerous, trust is risky, and for a Roman centurion, humility does not come easily. And I was not the most humble of men back then.
Jesus could help where all of the other physicians have failed. What do you have to lose?
I had stood in that crowd and heard him speak.
But I say to you, love your enemies, and yes, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father, who is in heaven.
No fear, no hesitation, no need to convince, just authority. I have commanded men in battle. I know what authority feels like. It does not beg, it does not strain, it simply is. As a Roman centurion, I commanded one of the 60 centuries within a legion. I directed maneuvers, kept the formation tight, and led from the front. I understood how to command men, but my expertise was shaped in the crucible of both training and battle. I received rigorous training focused on elite combat proficiency, commanding presence, and administrative competence after years of service as a rank-and-file soldier. But if the stories and rumors were true, this unschooled son of a carpenter had the power to not only command men, but life itself. My tutors would have told me this was absurd, but if I do nothing, risk nothing, believe nothing, Tobias dies. And so, I relented, and I asked Marcus to entreat Elder Joseph, a local scribe, to get a word to Jesus.
Centurion, I bring word. The rabbi has agreed. He is coming. He is on his way to your house as we speak.
He's coming here? To my house?
He did not hesitate, not for a moment.
I could hardly believe it. A Jewish holy man coming willingly to the home of a Roman centurion, a member of the army occupying his homeland. It was unheard of, and suddenly I realized something. He didn't need to come. If this man was who I believed him to be, his authority was not limited by walls or distance. I understood authority. I lived inside its machinery every day. When I gave an order, it was carried out, not because I was physically present, but because the power behind the order was real. And if the power behind Jesus was what I sensed it to be. Marcus, gather two of the Jewish elders, quickly. I need to send another message before Jesus reaches the house.
Centurion, are you sure? According to Elder Joseph, He's practically at the door.
Then hurry!
Master, the centurion sends this message. He says, Master, you don't have to go to all this trouble. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you in person. But just say the word, just give the order, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, and I also have soldiers under me. I tell one, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. I know that your authority is greater than mine. Just give the order.
I tell you the truth, I have not found such faith, not in all of Israel.
I was sitting at Tobias's bedside when it happened. His breathing, which had been shallow and rattling for days, suddenly deepened. His eyes opened. Color flooded his face. He sat up and looked at me as if waking from a long sleep.
Master, what happened? I feel well. I feel strong.
You have been healed, Tobias, by a man whose authority I am only beginning to understand. Later, I learned that Jesus had spoken highly of my faith, but it was not faith as I understood the word then. It was something simpler. A confidence in him that I could not explain, as natural as trusting the ground beneath my feet. I did not understand what was happening to me. I only knew that I would never be the same.
You ask about faith. You speak of it as though it were a possession, something to be acquired, measured, compared. You ask who has it, who lacks it, why it grows in some and seems absent in others. But faith is not what you think. Faith is not certainty. It is not the absence of doubt. It is not the loudness of your declarations or the perfection of your understanding. Faith is not proven by how strongly you speak, but by how deeply you trust. It is a turning. It is the quiet movement of the heart toward God, even when the mind is filled with questions. It is the hand that reaches out in the dark, not knowing exactly what it will touch, but believing it will not be empty. You have seen it before. In the one who cries, I believe, help my unbelief. In the ones who lower their friend through a roof, unsure of what will happen, but unwilling to leave him as he is. In the woman who touches the edge of my garment, not certain, but hopeful, desperate enough to try. Do you see? Faith often begins where certainty ends. You ask why some have it and others do not. It is not because the Father gives it to some and withholds it from others. The invitation is always open. But the soil of the heart is different. Some hearts are hardened by fear or pride. Some are shallow, quick to receive, quick to fall away. Some are crowded, faith choked by worry and the desire for control. And some are open, not perfect, just willing. Willing to trust, to listen, to take a step. Faith grows there, begins small, like a seed, almost nothing. But when it is planted, it grows beyond what you expect. Faith is not about seeing everything clearly. It is about walking when the path is not fully lit. Many wait for proof before they trust. But if you could see everything, you would not need faith. It begins in surrender, not in your strength, but in your willingness to be held. So do not wait until your faith feels strong. Bring what you have, a whisper of trust, a hesitant prayer, a trembling step. That is enough. If you are still seeking, still reaching, still turning, then faith is already alive in you, and I will meet you there.
to be continued.